Okay, so it must have been, I don't know, October, Mashu, something like that, that Shmuel, I think it was over Sukkot's break, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So Shmuel, what's that mean? And he said, can we talk about?
Like the whole practice of praying at the Kever and the
Tzadikim. Yeah, davening at Kever and Tzadikim.
And then there are like 40 pages of like,
yes,
really
I did.
Complex sources.
Correct, and then I said I would do it one day, and then I remembered, oh my God, the year's almost over, it's time to do it. So, there is a lot going on there. So let's divide what we have, okay? So, there is one series of halachic / philosophical issues that run through several parallel problems, right, or issues. One is the question of davening at graves / morphing into davening to or beseeching of, right? That, there's one problem that's common to that phenomenon and the phenomenon of davening to at blah, 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 blah of Malachim. And the third one, also with the Gimbo Basra, I said this for Shmuel David, he's like, where? I'm like, Kuftet Zion. He's like, I'm teaching Kuftet Zion. It's not there. I'm like, yes, it is. It's like right before the Mishnah he just started. The last line before the Mishnah, which is in the Gemara. This is a Gemara. This is a Gemara. Okay. And Kuftet Zion. Would you like to do the honor?
Wait, I already heard this then?
No, he didn't. He wasn't giving shir on this topic. He didn't even realize the line was there, because it doesn't really fit.
Yeah, the part we were doing was not holy.
Yeah, no, it's not that line. This wonderful line.
Right before it.
Right?
Sorry, come to Zion.
No, right, not from the mission. Do that. This one. Darash Rei Pinchas Bar Chama, Kol She'yesh Lo Chole B'toch Beito, Yelech Eitel Chacham Vivakesh Alav Rachamim. Anyone who is a sick person in the house should go to a Talmid Chacham, and he should pray for you. Shenemar Chamat, Melech Malchei, Malchei Maved, Ish Chacham Yachverena. Right? So we have one problem, which is common to all of those cases. Beseeching of Malachim, beseeching of Tzadikim, beseeching of dead Tzadikim.
Malachim. Like
angels.
Okay.
Right? So now this is something that we find throughout the Haggadot and throughout liturgy. Right? So as we know, the controversy of Malachim comes up every year around Slichot. Machnisei Rachamim. Do you say Machnisei Rachamim? Not say Machnisei Rachamim. You don't know what it is. We don't say Machnisei Rachamim here. Shocking. Shocking we don't say. Right? Right? But it's so popular, it became a song.
I know the song.
Yes, people are like, but it's such a nice song. I'm like, yes, are you listening to the words? Right? Right? It's Machnisei Rachamim, those who bring mercy before God. Right? Now, what is the theological problem that is created there? So,
intermediaries.
The intermediaries, and who said that was a problem? The Rambam, right? The Rambam said that was a problem, right? So that's the common denominator through all of them, right? If you want the summary of it, it's the Ani Mamin Ve'Muna Shlema Sha'Boreit Barach Shmo Lo Levado Ra'ui Lichpalel Ve'Ein Ra'ui Lichpalel Zulato, right? Or, as the Rambam himself put it, which was Shel Yase Kazeh L'Mishehu Tachtav Achat Min HaMalachim HaKochavim V'Galgalim Da-da-da, lefi shekulam, I just got cut off here, mudba'im, v'lodam en ushpat, lo bechira, en lo levado Hashem yitbarach, v'chein en ra'oi lo'avdam, k'dei liot emtsaim, right? Only daven to God, no intermediaries, right? So that's the one common denominator to all of those problems. Okay? I don't think we're going to do this in one week, I think it'll be two. Second problem, which is local to Shmuel's question, is not a Avodah Zarah, more specific, Doresh et Hamitim, right? The Isser in the Torah of, well,
I mean, isn't that specifically like
well, there's Ovi Doni and there's Doresh et Hamitim. What is this thing, Doresh et Hamitim, right? Asking of the dead, right? So there's a localized prohibition, okay? So the question is, how does this work? So before we really get into solutions, we just need to understand how deeply rooted this problem is in Haggadic texts. So luckily, or unluckily, I don't know, right, many of the key texts in this happen to be from the Masechta that we are learning, and therefore I said to him, well, if that's the case, then it's my excuse to do it. So I will just give you some. I printed out the Olamot thing just to have the key sources here. I made some of my own for next week. Yeah, this is 25 pages, but I'm not going through all of it, but you can read it. It's fun.
I thought you said you gave him all 40.
Well, this is just the Olamot one. I might have sent him my source sheet too. And not the one I made last week. I made another one just on the Chacham one. Okay, so here, first one. We'll do some just we'll start with the ones just in Or Masechta. Sota, Lamadala, and Mabet. And these are pretty well-known Agadot. This is not even like, right, obscure Agadot. Right? Sota, Lamadala, and Mabet is talking about the story of the Meraglim. And what happens during the story of Meraglim, Yosef?
She probably goes to Hebron.
Very good! Vayalu vanegev. They went to the south, the Gemara says. Revayavot Hebron, they got to Hebron. Vayavot mi boile. So the Gemara said, mafitam vayavo. Why does it say, and he came? It should have said, vayavo. I'll be fair, I'm very embarrassed the fact that I've never actually been to Marat Machpelah. Like, this is very embarrassing to me. I've lived here many years.
I mean, Hebron's a dangerous
place. I don't know. I'm going in a few weeks because Mayer is having his Siyum on Shmot. He was supposed to go for Siyum and Breishit, but that was COVID, and we were not allowed out of our house. So I will go. So the Gemara says, Amarava Milamed, She Perash, Perash Kalev Natat Miraglim. What happened? Kalev separated himself from the advice of the Meraglim. What did he do? Alach v'nishtatach al kivrei avot. He went and he... Nishtatach, what's nishtatach? He like prostrated, right, himself by the kivrei avot, by the graves of the forefathers. Mm-hmm. And Amar Lahem, he said to them, Avotai, bikshu alai rachamim. And he said, Avot, pray for me, that I will be saved from the Meraglim. And so that's one well-known Gemara, where Kalev did it. Again, to stick to things that are in our Masechta, so if you turn to Sota Yudalit Amud Aleph, you have the opposite phenomenon, right? So here we have one Agadata that seems to say, is there room to daven at Kivrei Avot? Before we know what that means yet.
Yes.
But yes. And it sounds like it's more than just ask. It sounds like...
Ask them.
Right? Ask them, at least to daven on his behalf. Okay. But we have the opposite phenomenon in... This is a fascinating thing. It's not explicit in the Gemara. It's in the boxed version of the Gemara. So... The Gemara in Sota Yudalit is talking about where Moshe is buried. And the Gemara says, Har'enu, Heichan Moshe Kavur. Tell us where... First line. It's not hard to find. First line of the Gemara, right? Where is Moshe buried? Amdu lima'ala. So he stood above. Nidme lohem lamata, lamata nidlem lamala, nechlush tekitom erotra nidlemala, nidlem lamata, lamata nidlem lamala. Right? So they started looking. Up looks like down looks like up, da-da-da-da, they're totally confused. L'kayem mashenamar v'lo yadat yishet korakot. To fulfill the puzzle, that no one will know where Moshe is buried. So now, the Gemara doesn't explain why nobody knows where he's buried, but look at the Bach. Right, the Bach, here, Sheriff Shmuel, right, the Bach, right, sometimes makes little tiny changes, but here he has a whole big discussion, right? And what does he say? Amaseh Pa'or, v'amari v'chamam v'chanina, b'v'nei man, nisateh kevosh el Moshe, me'enei batar v'dam, Why was Moshe's grave hidden from human beings? Because God knew the Beit HaMikdash would one day be destroyed. And the Jews would be kicked out of Israel. And God was worried that they would then be kicked out of Israel, they would find Moshe's kever, and they would daven, and they would cry to Moshe, and tell him, Moshe, please, daven for us. Va'omid Moshe mevatel et agzera, mipnei shechavivim tzadikim v'mitatam, yoter mibichayem. And Moshe would be capable of doing this because
tzadikim
are more beloved in their death than their lives. Shekein atam odeh b'sha'a shahayu Yisrael b'midbar, v'sarchu b'maaseihem, proof that when the Jews stand in the midbar, v'astu egel, katafa kadosh baruch hu Yisrael v'amar le'Moshe, haref mimeni v'ashminem, and he said to Moshe, I will destroy them. Kama tzidikim ayu b'oto ador, v'kama chasidim, Moshe v'aron v'yeshua eldanu meidad v'chulei, v'ashivim zikinem, v'shar chachamim v'tamidim, v'lo asa b'shvilam, v'lo b'tel gzira, el b'shvil Moshe v'amar rebicham rechanina, mai dechdiv, dot, dot, dot. Sorry, this is in the same vein. Right, the Bach says, right, and here's Gersa, why is Moshe's grave not known?
Because
if it were known, you'd go to Moshe, and Moshe's field would automatically be answered only in death. Because in life, it took Moshe and Aaron and Eldad and Medad and Skinim and get anything done, right? In death, Moshe would work like magic, so God had to hide his grave.
Wait, hold on, but then that just means that Hashem doesn't want it to be too easy for us to...
Well, you never know, right? That's the magic of this Gemara, that if you try to find it, suddenly your world would turn upside down.
Yeah, because Hashem doesn't want to find it.
You will never find it. And even though, right, Muslims claim they know where it is, right? Nabi Musa.
Well, I just want to make sure I get it clear. Like, why is the Bach saying...
So the Bach says that if they'd known where it was, then they have magic powers. So God doesn't want them to have magic powers, so he hides Moshe, right?
Okay.
But it sounds like, I mean, like fundamentally, that's a legitimate thing to do, and it works, and it's powerful.
And it would work.
Right. Now, of course, you could have said the opposite, which is that God hid Moshe's grave so that no one would ever do this, but that's not what the Bach says. It's so that no one would ever do it because then it would work, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure don't the Muslims say the reason they hide Muhammad's grave is because they don't want people doing that?
Yeah, fully out. Yeah, fully out. So then we've already seen, right, that in the Gemara in Bava Basra we have the case of the live coming to Chacham. And again, these are sometimes divided, because if you're worried about the broad theological question, then tzaddikim when they're alive, tzaddikim when they're dead, malachim, this is all similar questions. Right? If you're worried about the localized duration al meitim, so then the dead people one is primary. Right? We'll try to deal with both, because you know, both of them are sort of theologically important. But there are a lot of others, obviously, besides Pesod and Bava Basra. So, for example, Gemara in Tanit, Het Zayin Amud Aleph, says, Lama, why on fast days? Lama Yosin Lebeit HaKfarot. Why do we go to cemeteries? Pligi Bar Rabbi Levi Bar Chama Rab Chanina. So Levi Rab Chanina and Rab Chama and Rab Chanina argue. Chad Amar Harei Anu Chashuvin Lefanecha Kemeitin. One is to make a statement to God, we are like dead before you. Right? That's very rational. It's like symbolism. Okay. V'chad amar, k'dei shivakshu aleinu, meitim rachamim. Possibly this is the dead will pray for us.
Can you kind of ask, where did we get it?
And then the Gemara says, my benayu, what's the nafkamina? In case you thought that the Gemara didn't take this seriously.
There's a new cemetery.
No. Ika benayu kivrei akum. Can you go to a non-Jewish cemetery? Because if it's a non-Jewish cemetery, they'll still remind you that you're like dead, but they won't pray for you. Mm-hmm. So in case you weren't clear that Gemara meant this seriously, it's definitely meant it seriously. It has a halachic nafkamina between these two.
Wait, so is it implying that this practice is just something people do? Or rather, it's implying that this is like almost a mesorah?
No, it's what you should do.
Yeah, it's what you should do.
Yes. Yes, this is Tzayin Amud Aleph in Tainis. Chav Gimel Amud Bet in Tainis.
Tainis is a fun mishash, though.
Yes. The Gemara there is talking about all the power that people have over rain, right? You know, all those rain stories. You know those.
Sonny Amago.
Yeah.
Grandson.
His grandson. Yeah, all those. Those wonderful stories. Same dog. Don't worry. Same dog. They're all the same. You know, magic shoes, magic whatever, all that fun stuff that brings rain.
It's also Gemara with the keys.
Yeah, all that. No, that stuff fits. I'll be done. I don't expect you to know every daf and shot. Come on, that's the first daf. But the fifth sentence. Come on. So in the middle of that, story, the Gemara is talking about Rebbe Money, who is the son of. One second, I think are we in Avachilkia? No. This is Rabbi Yonah, sorry. It tells the story, the two, Rabbi Mani Bray, how they come to Sarale, the Venetia. People were driving Rabbi Mani, his son, crazy. Okay? So what was his solution? Ishtatach al Kivra de Avuha. He prostrated himself on his father's grave. Amar Le, and he said, Abba, Abba, Hanu Mitzahar Le, and said, Daddy, Daddy, they're driving me nuts. Right? And Yom Achad, and it gets worse, because what's the next line? Yom Achad, so one day, Havei Kachal Suhatam, the people who were bothering him were walking past, and Inkut Kare, they got stuck to the ground. Right? They got magically glued, miraculously glued in the spot by his father.
Why were they walking in a cemetery?
I didn't know. They were passing by where they were. They were paused, right? So here we have a story not only of him davening, sounds like to his father, but his father helping him magically, miraculously stuff. Mm. Right? Okay. Then we get Bava Metzia Pehe. Where you get Ahu Merabana that Vishchiach Elio Gabe. There was a Talmud Chacham that Elio used to come and visit him all the time. Dilitzafra Habu Shapirin Aine. In the morning he saw his eyes were beautiful. Ule Urta Damyan Kimikelaminura. And at night his eyes looked like they'd been burned with fire. Amar Lay Maihai said, what happened? Amar le, because I said to Eliyahu, Achavili Rabbanan Kisalki Limitifta Derakia. Please show me the Talmidei Chachamim as they ascend to the base medrash in heaven. Amar le, he said to me, Bechulu Matis Istakule Behu, you can look at all of them, Levar Miguharka Derabichia Delotistakabe, except for like the carriage of Reb Chia. You can't look at that. My Simanayu, how will you know which one it is? Bekulu Azli Malache, all of them have angels. Kisalki v'nachti v'armeghurka de Reb Chia demi nafshe salik v'nachit. Lo matzai lo ukme anafshe istakel ba. And when he's passing, you won't be able to look. Fine. Atu tre butite. Dinura too, right, but he looked at it, and what happened? Fiery, like, things came out of his eyes. What? Yeah, so, last week, you know the Parsha play in Dagon, right?
Yeah.
Right? So, if you don't know this, but in my shul, after davening, it took a year and 3 months break for COVID, but it finally started again. They have a very in-depth parsha play, like remarkably in-depth for little kids. It's really wonderful. So, and it's really fun because the main person who started it is like what used to be a Ram in the yeshiva, is like a Talmud Chacham, and the other guy is a professional stand-up comedian, right? And then some other guys in shul do it. So it's a lot of fun. So they were doing, but last week they decided to do a Rishon Bar Yochai story. 2 weeks ago, right? And it's a lot of adult humor that the kids don't get. Like it's at two levels, and there's all these jokes that are just for the adults. But at some point, he's just like they're telling the story, and he's like, if this story wasn't weird enough, Now we have laser eyes, right? Then they start going to the altar, right? And so you forget how weird that story is. Just totally and completely bizarre. There's nothing normal about that story.
Oh, the ones that came out of the cave? Or?
Yes!
Yeah.
What other stories is the freaking movie?
Well, there's a lot.
There are a lot of
laser eyes in Tana. In Gemara.
But with him specifically?
No! Everyone's laser eyes in Gemara.
Yeah, I think that's
just, you know?
Superman was just some rabbit with a beard.
Hey, it's not a coincidence that he was made up by
right.
a bunch of yeshiva
guys.
Yeah, a bunch of yeshiva guys. Come on.
Yeah, every major person that...
I'm sorry. You know their names.
Were like yeshiva guys.
I knew they were Jewish.
They like former yeshiva guys. Of course, Pasha.
Yeah.
Have you never wondered why his name is obviously Hebrew?
Kal-El.
Demi-God. Kal-El. Literally. You ever wonder why just Hebrew? Come on. Come on, it's just a bunch of Yeshiva guys.
Oh.
Oh, mind blown. Like, yes, who else to make this up? I mean, come on. Yeah.
It's the most, like, a bunch of Jews. Like, literally, so many of them.
I just like everything.
Yeah, I think this is why it, like, appeals to, like, rabbis. It's funny, right? Karofkin, his son is coming next year. He's the rabbi in the Bayit. And, like, you know, he's a very serious Talmud Chacham, like, translating the Kuzari, but he also is, like, an obsession with comic books and has, like, apparently, a really expensive, like, collection of, like, you know, like, yeah, sure, guys. Come on. Pasha. Oh, anyway, yeah. So
this is more well known.
What?
No, Yeshiva, you know about Superman today.
Yeah, no, everything.
Welcome to
everything.
No, why does the EA Renaissance?
I don't need to know.
Yes.
You need to know everything.
Yeah. So anyways, Machudalo Gabra Visaminu Leine. Meantime, the magical fire thing, which is how we got there, got into his eyes, right? And blinded him. Lemachar azli ishtache amarta amina matni devar matnitav itzai. And the next day, he went and he laid himself out on the ma'ara, the, you know, cave where the body was of, right, Rashi says some expert, right, in the Mishnah, right, the Rav Chiya or something, right, and he was, of Rav Chiya, right, of Rav Chiya, right, and he said, he who has ordered the Mishnah, Rav Chiya or the Brito, right, should heal me, and he was healed, right? So, we have a relatively fair sampling of such things. Now, right, obviously, I can quickly, right, when it comes to Malachim, we don't really have as many Gemara, we have a lot of liturgy, right, to deal with, like Machnisei Rachamim, if the words aren't fresh in your mind, Machnisei Rachamim, those who bring in mercy, Hachnisu Rachamenu, bring in our tefillot, Lifnei Bala Rachamim, Mashmiei Tefillah, those who make the tefillah heard to God, Hashmiu Tefillatenu, make our tefillah be heard. Okay? And if that wasn't clear enough, a few lines later, Hishtadlu Veharbu Tchina Ubakasha, please put in effort and daven a lot for us. Yes. One that you're probably more familiar with, which if you've been to my house, you know you will probably not hear, which is Barchuni L'Shalom. You won't hear that at my house, right? But of course, there's also the Slichot on this second day of Slichot, Midat Rachamim Aleinu Hitgalgali, Meikonech Tanez Vadati, Tamachti Yadav Tosrei Tevot, da-da-da-da-da. But you also have Gemaras about Malachim. Sorry. So, Gemara in Shabbat, after Bet Amabet. Amar Rav Barachana, Kevi Atlin Batre, Derbi Lazar, Lashuye, Bitsicha, Zimnin Amar Hamakom, Mifaketcha, Lashalom, Vizimnin Amar Rachmana, Yitgarnet, Lashalom. Right, so Rav Barachana said, Derbi Lazar used to daven in Aramaic, and the Gemara says you aren't allowed to daven in Aramaic. Remember this? A while ago, and last year, right, beginning of last year. Amar Rav Yehuda la'olam al yishal dam shachav lashon arami. Never daven in Aramaic. Why not?
Because the angels don't understand.
Because ein malachei asharet niskakim. Because then the angels will ignore you because they don't understand Aramaic. Of course. They know all languages except for Aramaic.
Wasn't this one being out of Tosfos?
Yes, no, we did in Sila.
Right?
And then, if you weren't confused enough, Tosfos says, except for Gabriel, because Gabriel is the expert. He also knows Aramaic. Aha.
Why don't they know Aramaic?
Because they don't, except for Gabriel, who is, his special power is that he knows Aramaic. So just keep that in mind, because if you ever want to learn Gemara with an angelic chavrusa, it can only be with Gabriel.
Oh.
Only. Wait. But it could be. Maybe he could use Art Scroll. Taka, he maybe knows English. Right? So maybe I should hold it. You know what? This is my limud chos. Maybe I shouldn't hold any of you so hard, because you all clearly have angelic, you know, chavrusas, but none of them speak Aramaic, so you're very good. So you only do it in translation.
In the Midrash to Megillah and Esther, what language are the angels speaking? Because angels show up a ton of times.
Yeah, but that's the rabbi's paraphrasing. I don't know.
Part of the problem is, we did the seal issue, and we also, according to the opinion, said it's not just Aramaic, everything but the angel that I live with only speaks Hebrew, and I don't speak Hebrew.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so that you have a lot. You have a bunch of these. Right, you have another one in Sanhedrin Mendalad. You have another one. This isn't a goddess that we did, but 2 years ago, so you weren't here. Avodah Zarah Yud Zayin, where Elazar ben Zordaya. Remember Elazar ben Zordaya? We did it last year also. It's part of the parallel to Gemara Menachot. Remember Elazar ben Zordaya? The paradigm of Tshuva.
Yeah, he was the one that went.
Right.
Yeah.
So at the end of his, you know, going to a prostitute, like all these stories. Right, and doing tshuva, what does he do? Who does he pray to? Harim ugva'ot bikshu alai rachamim. Mountains, oh, pray for me. And then that doesn't work. What does he say? Shamayim v'aretz bikshu alai rachamim. Heaven and earth daven for me. Chama levona bikshu alai rachamim. Sun, moon, and stars. Kol chafim v'alazalah bikshu alai rachamim. Right? Okay. Here's another one. And I just today, even if you get it to the Gemara, and that'll be a lot. Gemara in Shabbat, Dav Lamed Bet Amud Aleph, says, Misha Chalav and Atalamud. If someone is dying, what should he do? So first we tell him to do Vidui, right? And he should imagine himself like he's being taken out to be killed, etc. Shekola Ola Lagardum Lidon, because all these people who are being taken out to be killed, Im Yeshlo Praklatin Gidolin Nitzol, if he has defense attorneys in heaven, he will be saved. And by the way, I don't know if you've ever noticed what this phrase means, and then the Gemara says, Shene Emar, how do you know, later on, a few lines later, Im Yesh Me Alav Me Malach Melitz Echad Mine Alef, if you have one defender angel, so you will be Lagid L'Adam Yeshua V'Chanano V'Yomar, Padeum Yeredet Shachat, and he will be the one who will redeem you.
Where is that?
Right, so this is a Gemara in Shabbat, but you've probably heard that phrase before. Where else would it be? Come on, where else would it be? Right, but where have you, right, whenever someone says you should be a Melech Yosheh, that's what that means.
I don't think I didn't say that.
Really? I heard it in the funerals that this week, like, right? You're in Shamayim, you should be a Melech Yosher for your family, you know? That's what it means. You should be a defense attorney in heaven. Thanks so much.
100%, thank you. Really enjoyed the guy.
Well, Chaim took pictures. We'll post them, or Chaim will post them, or whatever. Whoever's in charge of doing posting on Facebook. Which is Shabbat Shalom. Now, on the other hand, you have certain Gemara that really, now we already saw the one about Talmud Chacham, and then you have certain Gemara that are pretty clear that you're not allowed to do this, right? So for all these Gemara that are pretty clear that this is like, you know, part of daily life, this is a wonderfully Rishalmi in the ninth paragraph of Brachot, that goes like this. Rabbi Yudan Amar Mishmei Bideh, Basar Vidan, a human being, Yesh Lo Patro, he has a patron, Imbat Lo Eitzara, right, so you have a patron, what do? You don't just go to the door, you ask a servant to tell them that you're here, right? This means a patron, like Mamish, like Roman patron style, right? Like a patron, like where the word actually comes from, like a Roman patron, right? And I've told you before, like, it took me a long time to figure out this out, but I'm convinced that it's true that, right, the Gemara says that it's ribis if you borrow money from someone, and it's ribis dvarim, which is ribis drabanan, if you borrow money from someone and then you say thank you, right? Or, now, for Moshe, it takes that seriously, like, you can't say thank you. But if you look at the Ron says, because it's shavim kesef, it's worth money. And I'm like, okay, it can't just mean thank you. So I looked it up for a while, and eventually I figured out it doesn't mean thank you, right? I'm convinced that's what it means. That Roman patronage, part of it was that if you borrowed money from someone, you were obligated by law, right, as part of that relationship, to greet them in a certain way, to go to their house in the morning and say good morning, right, in a certain way that that showed your, right, debt to them. Right? That is Shavei Kesef, right? That's what the Gemara, I think, is forbidding, right? It also explains I'm also going to use this, what it means, right? The Gemara says you're not allowed to go to someone's house to greet them in the morning before davening, right? And I never understood, like, what is the Gemara talking about, going to their house? Because everyone says, oh, you can't go to their house. So a lot of the posts are like, oh, it means you can't go out of your way, but if you pass them, then you can. Yeah. But I don't think that's what it means, right? It means that before you daven, you can't show patronage. Right, you can't express the fact that you were in debt and you owe your life to a human being before you do that to God. Or you can go, it literally means you can go to somebody's house. It was a formal thing that you did through your patron. You need to know a little Roman history. It took me a while to figure that out, but I'm convinced that's what both of those words mean. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't okay. But God is not like that. In Baal Adam Tzara, if something bad happens to you, what should you do? Lo Yitzaveach, lo Michael, v'lo Gabriel. Do not cry out to Michael, and do not cry out to Gabriel. Ela li Yitzaveach, cry out to me, to God, not to me. That's bad. That's the same problem. To God speaking, right? V'ani oned lo miyad, and I will answer him immediately. I know dechdev. That's what the pasuk says. Call Asher Yikra, B'Shem Hashem, Nimalet. Anyone who calls on the name of God will be saved. Right, so on the one hand, we have all these Gemaras that say, go to the Talmud Chacham, go to the dead Talmud Chacham, go to go to the angel. And then we have one particularly explicit Yerushalmi, which says, don't do that. No, under no circumstances, don't do that.
Go to a Malach. So, hey, you know, don't talk like the Bavli over the Yerushalmi.
Yeah, so what we got to do is try to figure out, like I said, a few things, right? One, the one that is the common denominator between all of them is the issue of the theological question of intermediaries. In addition to that general problem, there is the added problem of, what? Of Dorish, right? Dorish al-Ameti. Now, of course, these are not all of them. I can give you just quickly a bunch of others, right? They have a nice list here, right? In addition, it's like how many do you need to prove the point that there's a problem we have to deal with? But fine, right? The Zohar Chadash says that Eshet Ovadia prostrated on the caver of Ovadia, and Ovadia revealed himself to her and told her to go to Elisha.
Where is that?
Then there's probably the midrash that you know because it's the basis of the slich of one of our kinos, that Yirmiyahu, to try to prevent the korban, went to each of the avod and eventually got to who?
Rachel,
right? You probably know that one, the famous midrashim.
Yeah.
That one. The one that was made into a song. Would you like to serenade us?
No.
Yeah. But the S one, that one, Mama Rachel cry for us again. Yeah, that's based on the Torah, which has made it into liturgy, right?
I mean,
yeah, that one really like goes really high. It's like yes,
yeah,
something. God, I got that. Father in heaven. That's about my extent of my knowledge there, right? Something. It's one of those songs that only Shweki can sing. Yes, because, you know, you have to go really high, and, like, he has this amazing thing about him, that he's, like, Svardi and sings perfect Yeshivish, Yeah. But he also sings like Good Friday, like Good Hebrew. It's very interesting. Fun. Let's see what else we got. Gorn Sota. Yeah.
Which among them?
Well, right, all of them. I'm just making sure we cover these. Okay. Fun. So, I get that. Those are the two things. Now, of course, right, they say, and I didn't even know this was a thing. I mean, I guess I did know it was a thing. That obviously part of this question is putting kvitlach in the kever of the tzaddik. Yes, that's part of the question.
What?
Yes, people do that, apparently. Who knew?
I'm
not that stupid. What's that?
Kvitlach. It's like the little notes, like they put in the kotel. They also put it in kever tzaddikim, yeah, apparently.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the rabbi, the rabbi has a fax machine, so you could fax your kvitlach to the grave.
Oh, you can send it online.
Yeah.
It's very convenient.
Is
that it? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can fax machine. You can go on Kabbalah's orders.
That's right. Wonderful. And he davens for you when he gets shlishi. Okay.
Yep.
He does get shlishi, right? A lot of the minyanim he does, right? I know there are certain minyanim he still gets shlishi. Yes. I don't know, but I know there are certain minyanim that are very into this, that he still allows to give him shlishi. But I remember talking to someone who went to his minyanim, and he said, you know, and he said, isn't it amazing that Rebbe gets shlishi? And he said, I'll be more impressed when you give him hagba. anyways. What?
What?
He is in the room. What are you asking me? I don't know. Honestly, Yoda, you think I know? Come on. I have no idea. Fine. Okay. So what we got to do is just sort of put all this evidence together and try to figure out what to do with it. Now, as part of that, obviously, we also need to distinguish that, part of the answer might be we have to define exactly what we mean in each of these cases. Because there are three potential situations that are going on here, right? One is tefillah to a tzaddik or malach, that they should help you with the power vested in them, right? Which you definitely find in certain Hasidic sources. Right, we've talked about this.
And it was just,
Look, I told you the in certain chassidiyot, the drasha on tzaddik yisod olam, right? It's not what you think, right? I have not told you this. So this is not surprisingly very simple. Put it this way: when I tell it to you, you'll understand why it doesn't surprisingly get into this family-friendly packet. But tzaddik yisod olam in certain Kabbalistic circles and Hasidic circles rather means that the reason that the chassid, that the rebbe has power in the world is because tzaddik yisod olam. What is yisod? What? It's one of the tefirot. Which tefira? Which part? Which part? Which whose? Male or female? Male. It's the phallic symbol.
Right.
It's
tefira.
Yisod is the stick tefira, right? Which in the body version, right, there's the circle version of the sphero, which you've seen in that picture, and then there's the body version, right, where there's the, oh no? So that's part of this, right, that's another Kabbalistic version of it, where the Adam HaKadmon, or the theoretical Godhead thing, each is representative of a certain body part, so you show it as the phallic symbol, right? And what's the feminine? Shina, also known as
the,
it has two names. Right. She has two names. Shina, yeah. And Malchut. Right. Malchut. Right? So, which is what, by the way, the Kabbalistic meaning of the shame, Yichud, Kudsha, Rechu, Ushende, means for the sexual union of Kudsha, Brichu, the sixth Tvira, Shchinte, the male and female parts of the Godhead, right, the sphere of emanation. Yichud, like physical unification, because that creates the forces. No, anyway.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, that's what it means in Kabbalah. Okay, don't ask me what it means.
Why do you say it like,
because mitzvot are what bring shefa to the world. But shefa is shefa, right? Overflowing, whatever, is the semen of the spherot, right? And therefore, that, I mean, so tzaddik yisod olam in certain Kabbalistic sources, in Hasidic sources, means that the tzaddik takes the place of yisod, right? And therefore, fertilizes the world, thereby bringing bracha, which is where his power comes from. Yeah, the first time I tried that in graduate school, I was also like, really? Really? Wow. Yeah, so that doesn't make it into here, but so there is the possibility, there is the possibility that what people are talking about is davening to tzaddikim to use their metaphysical powers.
I mean, there
right?
I mean,
I need to pray to God that this sheer does not like making the front page of Why You Tyra. So bad for me. Anyways.
I mean, there's the whole Gemara about like how the Jews
what?
Don't like the Malachim when they're like Yerushalayim thing.
What?
This is that whole Gemara with the Jews like the Malachim when
you. Well, let's do those categories. The second element here is the possibility that what you're doing is not davening to the tzaddik or malach to use their own power, but that you are asking them to daven on your behalf or bring your tefillah, right? Meaning they're, right? They are, you're not asking them directly to use their power, you're asking them to.
Immediately.
Yeah, right? The third possibility is that you are davening to God in the schut of the tzaddik.
Because, you know, angels have...
I don't know what the angel wants. But in the schut of the tzaddikim, or in the, because the makom of the tzaddik is a makom kadosh, right? Or some version of that, right? Right, so you have to distinguish between which of these do we mean in any given circumstance, right? Okay, so far it took us over 40 minutes just to outline the problem here, right? What we're dealing with, and that's the issue we need to deal with. See, this is why when Shmuel, like, you know, texted me al regalachad, I'm like, here's 25 pages. We'll discuss it one day, right? So lot. Okay, fine. So let's start dealing with this. So there is what they call the machmir position. Probably the position that's
what?
Popular around here, right? They call this a machmir position.
What does that mean, this isn't like a halachic discussion. This is a philosophical, like, discussion that leads to...
No.
Well, actually, you know what?
Actually, you're discussing the machmir position before he says it. My assumption is they're saying this could lead to avodah zarah, so we should be machmir in preventing it.
The way I look at this is like looking at one of those stories and like with the
and again, right? So throughout each one, we're gonna have to deal with both problems, right? The intermediary one and the Doresh HaMeitim problem, right? Each time we have to go through that. Fine. So the most machmir position, if you want to call it that, but how about the don't dive into anybody but God position? How about that?
Okay with that one.
Right? Is taken up by the Bach. The Bach says as follows: Od ra'iti tshuva al shem Moreinu Harav Rabbeinu Chaim Paltiel al hanodrim lelech beit hakvarot k'tzat. Rav Chaim Paltiel said, "Hey, those people who go to the beit hakvarot, hayanir e kidareish al hametim. That looks like you are violating the Isur Doraita of seeking out the dead." Dikalev shenidrech al kibrei avot dipalel l'shem b'makom kedusha. He said, Kalev, and all those other stories, they just mean that what?
They went to that place because it was a kadosh place.
Yeah, they went to that place, the Dom and the God. It was kadosh, it was inspirational, I don't know. Kidei shidei tvilo nishmat, kidechtiv, Avram elamakom hasham hasham, amasham hakom goreng. Inami, misha bizar, amir chvadot, yosher kebro, domatino, achnashim, uvnei, etc. He says, "Achnashim uvnei adam she'eno yodin ze lo yadati halichatan lema." But women and children who don't understand that that's why you're going, I don't know why they're going. Right? Meaning, don't do this. Hey, don't do this.
What do you mean he's saying he doesn't know why they're going? I thought he said that it looks like you being going to Alameda Sin. Like, that's
bad.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
what
so
if
he said, don't
he
do this.
What if
and
he's
like,
saying he doesn't know why they're going? They're doing an ISO.
Well, yeah, so he said, don't do it. He doesn't like it.
Why did he say that? Why did he say, I don't know why they're going?
Right, and then he says, however, Miu, Far Hestiko Minagza, he said, I have a problem, because people do this. The Ein Moche, and no one stops them. Their support is the Zohar. But he said, even there, right, he thinks the way you should understand it is that they're davening to God, but he knows that this is something that happens, right, and, you know.
When did the Bach live?
500 years ago.
Not so long,
Right, Rabbi Yoel Sirkis.
He's
one of the early commentators on the Torah.
Okay.
Right.
So still technically kind of late.
Right, around the same time as Ramah, right? More or less. A little bit later, I think. So one possibility, and as Yaakov notes, this is not necessarily the easiest way of reading all of the Gemaras, is that no, Doresh HaMeitim would be the daven in any way to tzaddikim that are dead. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is that you are going because of the place. And maybe you have to explain that certain things are exceptions, who knows. Right? And he says, right, it's about the makom, it's about something like that. That appears as well in the Ran, right? The Ran has a suggestion of this, that it's a makom kadosh. Right? He says, ra'ui l'ishtateach ha'kivrei tzadikim l'tbalel sham, ki ha'tfila b'makom ahu t'yidei ritsuya yoter. Right? The Ran says, there's a kedusha at makom, which I also don't quite understand, but okay. Right? So this is in the Ran. The Maharil writes this as well. That which people go to the cemeteries on Taniyot, it's because mitoch kach hu makom kadosh v'tahor v'tfila nigbelet v'yoter, it's a holy place. And what does he then say? V'al yasim makamato neged ha'beitim ha'shofim shom. And please don't dive into the dead people there. Achivakeish me'ashem yitvarach b'shiitin avracham b'shchura tzadikim. Davin at that place, in the merit of the tzaddikim. This is the Mishnah Berurah's position as well, who writes, Beit HaKvarot, hu makom menochad tzaddikim, v'atfila nitkabla sham yoter, ach lo yasim agavato negen ha'meshim, ach yivakesh mei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yinu v'achamim v'zchur tzaddikim shokhnei afar. So one tradition, despite all some of the textual problems, as Yaakov notes, is to say that this is either about davening in the schut of the tzaddikim in this place, right, or channeling the kedusha of the makom in davening to Hashem. Okay? Now that obviously would solve the problem of intermediaries, it would solve the problem of Doresh HaMeitim. It doesn't necessarily sound that way in all the Gemaras, right, but that is definitely one position in the Gemara. Okay? Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet, right? Meaning, it doesn't necessarily help for the Malachim ones, but it helps for these. And again, it doesn't help for the Talmud Chacham one either in his lifetime, right? Right?
Depending on whatever mechanism you say is going on here, if you're saying that, like, you're asking the supposed of the Talmud Chacham, I don't see why that works more than the dead or still alive.
Well,
so
you don't dive into the split of the live people? I don't know. Right,
yeah.
Now, however, right, now, right, the problem is, as Yaakov notes, in many of the sources, it doesn't sound that way. So in Kalev, the language is Abotai Bikshu Alei Rachamim. Tanit, he says, Abba Abba, right? In Sota, Moshe Rabbeinu Amod B'tfila Abba Adenu. And even the Mishnah Berurah in other places quotes the Magen Avraham is saying that we go on fast days, Kadesh Yevakshu Aleinu Rachamim. So they'll daven for us. And many of the tefillot that we have indicate that people say this, including tefillot that some people say at Maror HaMachpelah, and things that people say in Meron. maybe that doesn't prove anything, but even the Reb Ben Yakar, right, who's one of the major commentaries on the Siddur, right, and we've shown him, says, "Bevedak Paro, Yitbalo El, Tfila, La Kadosh Baruch Hu, V'achar Kach Yomar, La Meitim, Yitbalo Lefanav, Sheikablo, Tfila Tehu." Right, then dive into the dead and say, right, accept that our prayer should be accepted. So that's the case, then we got to figure out, again, if that's the case, how is this mutter, and both because of the Rishon Meitim, and the problem of intermediaries. Okay, I think we're going to have to pause there, because now that Ginsburg is here, you'll down Marif. So we will, hopefully we'll do this in one more week, right? We laid out the problems, we won't read everything aside, but once you get the Gemaras down, hopefully I'll get through, I hope to get it through in one more week, even though the truth is that really the one of going to the Chacham is really its own sugya. Okay.
I'm so worried about the appeal.